If you have a Bible, I'd like you to turn to the 100th Psalm. This is the Sunday coming up upon Thanksgiving, and that's a partial theme that we've had this morning. And I want to read a Psalm of Thanksgiving. And again, if you're able to join us with the other churches in our community for the Thanksgiving Eve service, I know that it will be a blessing for you and your family. The 100th Psalm begins this way. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing, which we've done this morning. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. Maybe we can all read verse 5 together. Ready? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. I love that verse, because it talks about all generations. And we're going to have a number of generations baptized today, representing a number of generations, because the goodness of the Lord extends to every generation. This morning, I want to preach a small message entitled, Count Your Blessings. How many remember the old hymn? Count your blessings. A few over here, a few here, a few over there. Okay, and I thought about pulling out an old hymn book and reciting it this morning, but we really don't have time. But those who don't know, that was kind of a standard hymn that you would sing years ago, usually on a Sunday night. Remember Sunday night services, anyone? Yeah. And we would count your many blessings, see what God has done. So when I titled this message, I thought that's an interesting title given the day that we live in. We're living in a dangerous time. We're living in a tumultuous time. We're living in a time where, as the songs that we sang, why do the nations rage? It's a time when the nations are raging. It's a time when our own nation is in tumult and a rage. You can sense a rage on the college campuses, on the streets, and on and on and on. So you might say, well, Pastor, what do we have to be thankful for this Thanksgiving? Most of us will sit down together on Thursday and we will have a Thanksgiving meal. Some of you, it may be more meager than other years because of the economy. Some of you will have a lot of family around. Others, honestly, may be alone. It is a time set aside by our nation to remember that God has been good to America. He has. We were founded upon that goodness, and we celebrate that at Thanksgiving. And some of you will watch football. Do they still show football on Thanksgiving? Some of you? Some of you will purposely watch reruns of Heartland on Thanksgiving. Some of you won't turn the TV on at all. Some may be discouraged. Some may play football. We used to have Turkey Bowl here at Landmark. Go down to the high school and make some mud. We don't do that anymore because I'm getting old and so's Eddie. A lot of different ways that we celebrate. Let me stop for just a moment. I just noticed, it's only right that I do this. Victoria, you're here. I want to recognize that she is one of our newest city council members, just won the election for Battleground City Council. and her family. We want to say congratulations, and we'll be praying that God will give you wisdom and the rest of the council members as you direct the affairs of our city, because that directly affects our churches, and so we need to pray for them. Amen? Amen. So it's good to have you in service today. So you might say today, what do we have to be thankful for? How can we count our blessings? Well, I want you to know this, and you that are my age, you know this for sure. You that are younger may not have grasped this yet, but it will come to you. This is not the first Thanksgiving where the world has been in tumult, right? It's not the first time that America has experienced difficult times during a Thanksgiving. But every time Thanksgiving comes, God's people find a reason to count their blessings, or at least should. Amen? Because the condition of the world, the condition of our nation, is no reason to not count our blessings. And even in the most difficult of times, we can count our blessings. I remember as a little boy, I lived for a short time in, and some of you have heard this story, but I lived a short time in Bakersfield, California. How many know where Bakersfield is, right? Very, very hot and dry, and it was a hot and dry Thanksgiving. It was me and my two brothers and my mother. She was a single parent, and there was not a lot of money, but it was Thanksgiving, so she couldn't afford a turkey. But she was able to get some money, and I don't know how Mom got the money, but she wanted to have Thanksgiving for her boys. And it was a hard time for us. And if ever there was a time that we could say, why even fool with Thanksgiving, because everything's going so bad for us, Mom wanted us to know that it was still important to give thanks to God. Right? And even though my mother didn't serve the Lord in those days, and she eventually did, she thought it was important for her boys to know that God was our source. And so Mom got enough money. She went out to the store, and she bought, and back in those days, they were really, really cheap, and she bought a Cornish game hen. It was just little. And they were really cheap. She bought it because it looked like a turkey. And she cooked that, and she put together some potatoes, because you can always find potatoes, come on, especially in Bakersfield, you can always find potatoes, mashed potatoes. She cooked that in the oven, and she set it on the table. It looked so pitiful. There it was, that little Cornish game hen. And she said, okay, boys, it's not a turkey, but we're going to pretend like it's a mini turkey, and we're going to be thankful for it. And she wasn't a woman of prayer in those days, but she said, we're going to pray and thank God for his blessings. Because she had a mom who was a powerful prayer warrior, amen? And so she led us in this small little prayer over this Cornish game hen. And then she took the time to carve it just like a turkey. And she gave the three boys some. And I think she said, I'm not hungry today, because she wanted us to have plenty. And I'll never forget that Thanksgiving, because even in the hard times, Mom wanted us to know we could be thankful to count our blessings, that God was a blessing, that we were together, even though a single parent family, we were together as a family, and that God was good. And I appreciated that. And so there's been a lot of Thanksgivings since then, and I've enjoyed them all, but that's the one that always rings true in my mind. And you probably all have a Thanksgiving story you could recount as well. So what can we be thankful for? How can we count our blessings? I'm going to give you three things that, at least for me, this is what I am counting my blessings over, and this is what I'm being thankful for. Number one. And these are not in order of importance. The most important will come last. But number one is friends. Is friends. I am thankful for my friends. I am thankful for people that call me their friend. I'm thankful for people that I've known for years. Some of you, almost 47 years. And I am thankful for people that I have just met that I believe are my friends. And friends are important. Friends are important. One of the longest running shows on television, I understand, though I never watched it, I never was cared about it much, was entitled, what? Friends. Yeah, you watched it. Friends, one of the longest running ones. And again, it wasn't my cup of tea, but it's that whole thing of Friends. And then another show that ran a long, long time, I don't know the statistics on it, and I don't even think I know the name of the show, but it's got that real that theme song. Dun, 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 dun. And they're in the bar. Gotcha. I know what you've been watching now. Cheers. And what was that all about? Put the drinking aside. It was about friends, right? It was about people that could just talk and share and whatever. And again, I didn't watch it. The only reason to know about it is that tune kind of gets caught in your mind. But the world knows the value of friends and friendship. And Jesus knew the value of friendship. Because Jesus would tell his disciples, I have called you my friends. Jesus had those 12 that followed him. They were his friends. The importance of friends. The Old Testament says that a friend, a good friend, sticks closer than a brother. But to have friends, the proverb says, you have to be what? You have to be friendly. Why are friends important? I think friends are important because they help you feel that you have some value. If someone has the time to be your friend, they must feel like you have some value. And one thing we see in our world today is people don't feel like they are valuable. They have been taught in our schools and in our colleges that they were nothing more than just an accident of the evolutionary process, and that this life is it. When you die, you die. And so the value of being a person has just gone away. But when you have friends, they bring value to you. You feel like, maybe I am valuable. But more than anything else, I want you to know you are valuable to God, because there's not one accident in this building today. Come on. There is not one accident in this building today. You were given life by God, and he has a purpose for your life because he loves you and he wants to be your friend. And so friends give us value. And there are some friends I know that are closer than others, and some friends you see more often than others. Just the last couple of months, I have run into some people who I've known for a long time, but I haven't seen them for a long time. And when I saw them, it happened yesterday at the wedding in Chehalis. It happened yesterday. I knew they were going to be there because they were related to the bride of the wedding that I did. But when I walked up the stairs to the place where the wedding was, and I saw them immediately. Though we haven't seen each other for years, I knew immediately that was a friend of mine. And I was his friend. And we shook hands and we embraced and hugged one another and said the things that you normally say. And it was just for a brief moment before I had to start the wedding. But I knew right then that man was still my friend. How many know that gives worth to him and gives value to me as well? Amen? So I'm grateful for my friends. And I'm grateful to you that are my friends. And I hope all of you are my friends. I count you as my friends. Now, I'm your pastor. I understand that. And sadly, though, sometimes some pastors, they don't want to have friends. They don't want to get that close to people. But that's not been our modus operandi for all these years. Cheryl and I want to be friends. We're still your pastors. We still have responsibilities. But for us, you're also our friends. And that's why it's difficult when our friends pass away, or our friends choose to attend some other church, or whatever. I mean, we know that's the process of stuff, but that doesn't take away our friendship. And to this day, there are folks who used to attend Landmark that no longer attend Landmark for whatever reason, but when we see them on the street, we are still friends. How many know that's the way it ought to be? Amen? It's the way it ought to be. So if you're having an argument with a friend, if you're having a disagreement with a friend, if you are at odds with a friend, please get that thing corrected, because we need all the friends we can get. Amen. So I am thankful today for my friends. Secondly, family. I am grateful and thankful for my family. Now, this is the family of God, and that goes without saying. I am thankful for you. But I'm talking about my blood family now. I am thankful for my family. I could not imagine life without my family. And I know some of you are struggling even now because some of your family have gone on to be with the Lord. Some of your family is no longer with you. And I respect that and I understand that. Been through that process many, many, many times with you. But, and I also understand that sometimes families can have disagreements, and maybe some of you are at odds with some family members. I recognize that. That happens. But when I count my blessings, my family is so important as a blessing to me. It starts with my wife. Cheryl and I have been, 51 years. I told this young couple yesterday, I called him by name and I said, don't ever forget this day. You can forget anything else, but don't ever forget the day you were married, because you will be tested on it time and time again. Don't ever forget November 18th. 2023. How many men know what I'm talking about? Hello? Come on. Three of you? Come on. How many men know what I'm talking about? Okay, you don't forget that certain date. But Cheryl and I, it starts with her, my family, my beloved, my bride of so many years, still in love, still in ministry together, still walking this life out for Jesus, and I am so grateful. And then my children, I can't tell you how grateful I am for my son and my daughter, the joy of my life. And I tease them, and I tell stories about them, and I know the rule is, pastors, don't use your family as illustrations. I broke that rule 50 years ago. But I love them, and I just, as they grew up, I was so proud of them. And then they got married, and I love their spouses, Jimmy and Stacy. I love them. They became part of our family, and then children came, and I love my grandchildren, and now great-grandchildren, four of them, and I love my great-grandchildren. But every time that happens, you get an extended family, right? And so that grows and family grows. And I am so blessed to have my family. We've not always agreed, but we love each other and we forgive each other. And that's why the family is so very important. And though you may have only one family member, or you may have no family left, but you have the memories of your family to hold on to those. So let me move on to the conclusion. But let me say this about family. If you are in a conflict with a family member, do your best. You can't control them, but you do your best to get that thing resolved, because life is so short, too short to be upset with your family. Try to get it taken care of as soon as you can. Amen? I know that may seem impossible for some of you, but with God, all things are possible. Come on. With God, all things are possible. Make that a matter of prayer. So, count your blessings, my friends and my family. And finally, and this is the most important, even above family, is I am grateful for my faith. My faith. My belief in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And my family has known this from the very beginning. And Cheryl told me this when we were dating. She made it very plain. I love you. I want to marry you. And you will be a most important person in my life except for Jesus. And for 51 years, I have lost out to Jesus every time. Every card. I love you more than anyone except Jesus. It's a constant reminder. And that's the way I want it to be. Amen? My relationship to Jesus, my faith in Jesus Christ is a blessing. I don't know what life would be for me if I had not found Jesus as a young lad in Ceres, California. I just don't know what life would be like because I see so many people that are living without Jesus and my heart aches for them because they have nowhere to turn. They have nowhere to go. That's why the Gideons, those folks are so important to me, and we've tried to support them through the years, is because there are lonely people out there who don't have friends, family, or faith. And there's the letter I received from the Gideons here a number of months ago that you sent out, that you got. And I mentioned this to Tom and Leon when I met with them the other day. They got a letter, I believe it was from a young woman who went to a motel for the direct purpose of killing herself because her family and whatever. But when she got to the room and plotted out how she would do it, instead she opened a drawer and found a Gideon's Bible, and she opened it and she read it and she found faith in Christ. And instead of death, there was life that day. Thank you again to the Gideons for putting those Bibles where people can see them. Amen? That's an important ministry. Amen. 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 So she found faith, and it gave her hope. And so my friends are so important to me, and they're my blessings. I could mention my pastor friends in our city, dear friends, all of the pastors in Battleground that I know, that we meet weekly together with those who can come. They're my friends. And we pastor different churches. And we have maybe theologically some differences, but they're my friends. And I know right now, if I called any one of them and said, please pray for me, that they would pray for me. And they wouldn't tell anybody else, but they would pray for me. I know any one of them right now, I could call up and say, I'm desperate. I need help. They would help me. And friends, I want you to know that that kind of relationship makes Battleground strong with our churches and our pastors. Amen? They're my friends. I count them as family and my faith. In John 3, the first 9 verses, Jesus talked to a man named Nicodemus. He was a religious leader. He was a good man, but he didn't understand the ministry of Jesus. And so he came to Jesus by night. There's debate on why he came at night. Some say it was because Jesus was so busy during the day. Others said because he was embarrassed. Others said he didn't want to expose himself to the scorn of the Sanhedrin. Whatever, it doesn't matter. He came to Jesus by night, and the two of them sat. And Nicodemus said, Jesus, I know you're from God. No man can do the miracles that you do except God be with him. And Jesus went right to the point. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. That's the point. And Nicodemus, in his thinking, whoa, he said, How can a man enter back into his mother's womb and be boy? See, he's got this all figured out wrong. And Jesus said, no, 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 no. He said, no, Nicodemus. What's born of water or the flesh, that's flesh. But I'm talking about being born again. You must be born again, born of the Spirit. It's a spiritual birth. So all of us have been born, all of us. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but all of us have been born. We all have a birth date. Matter of fact, on the count of three, I want everyone to just say where you were born, the city. Ready? One, two, three. Yuba City, California. I heard someone say California was pretty loud. You are living in dangerous territory. No, so was I. Now, we couldn't understand that, right? But if we went individually and let each of you say where you were born, boy, what a myriad of places, right? But we all were born. We all were born. But have we all been born again? And I was born March 11, 1952 in Yuba City, California. That's when I was born physically, by water, if you will. But I was born again in Ceres, California, at an altar of the Assembly of God Church. When as a little boy, I walked down and I felt the weight of sin. And I gave my heart to Jesus. And I've walked with him ever since. Hasn't been easy. But one thing my grandmother always taught me, and she called me Little Eddie. I prefer you not to call me that, but she would say to me, Little Eddie, we have so much to be thankful for. Grandma's husband left her with kids to raise. Grandma had to work many jobs to just pay her bills. But every day she would say, Little Eddie, there's much to be thankful for. God has been good to us. And most of all, he gave Jesus to die for you on the cross. And that faith that I've had all these years has been so important. So this Thanksgiving, I thank God for my friends. I thank God for my family. And I thank God for my faith. Amen? Let's stand together, please. Praise the Lord. All right, it's a quarter after. In 15 minutes, we will be in the north entrance, the baptismal tank, and all of those that are going to be baptized, if you'll make your way there when we dismiss in prayer. I hope many of you can stay to be witness to the baptismal. If you can't, though, we certainly understand. There might be other commitments you have. But in that 15 minutes before we start, I'd like you to take time to visit the Gideon's table and just thank these folks for their ministry. And if possible, leave a generous offering to help with the ministry of the Gideons. And again, thank you, Tom, and all of you for being here today. We appreciate it very, very much. And so, Lord, we just come today, and on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, we want to say thank you. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for blessing America. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for helping us in difficult situations. Put within our heart a melody that can't be taken away. Put within our heart a spirit of gratitude, even in the most darkest of days. Lord, help us to be a people of thanksgiving. Thank you for our friends. Thank you for our family, and thank you for our faith. And if there might be anyone here today that has not made the step toward Jesus to ask him to forgive them of their sins, I pray that they would do that before this day is over. Maybe at the Gideon table, maybe at the baptismal tank, or maybe in the privacy of their car, or maybe they'll call one of us and we can lead them to Christ. But Lord, we thank you for all of your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's thank him for his word today. Amen.